Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone and welcome to Clanny Survival School Radio with Michael Coffey, your host for the evening. Today is the 4th of the 3rd, 2015. That is the Wednesday, the 4th of March, 2015. And on tonight's show, we're going to be talking about the last days. The last days are here. We are living in the last days. We see war. In the Middle East, we see uprising in the Ukraine. We see economic crisis in Europe, especially Greece. They're going to be leaving the European Union. There's plans for them to head back to the drachma, the original currency. They're heading away from the euro. Currency. We see that Russia and China and the BRICS nations are slowly moving away from the dollar. The petrol dollar is going to be collapsing. That is going to be a major concern as well. Now, what I want to get into in today's show is that the war that is coming will be the most shocking and horrifying. It will be the cause of many deaths. The large number of the population of the world will be killed in this war. The only way I can put it is that we are faced with a situation that the vast majority of people will die. Whether it be nuclear war, a pandemic, or economic collapse, or martial law, one thing we can be sure is that this war will be the great war. It will make World War One, World War Two look like a walk in the park, like it was in the history of the world, like it was only going on for a day compared to World War III. What we're expecting from World War III is that it's going to be the worst war ever. There's going to be martial law, there's going to be death camps, internment camps, people will be surveyed by secret police. Your daily lives will be completely monitored. Your every movement will be tracked. All your financial transactions will be monitored and tracked. You yourself will be completely under surveillance 24 hours a day. You will have to produce your papers. Even if you're just walking down the street, it'd be like Nazi Germany, where you had to constantly produce your papers in order to go about your travels. And what's most shocking of all is that even if you're going down to the shop to do your shopping, grocery shop, you will find that even a 5-minute walk to the shop, you could even be asked for your papers. This is going to be the scenario in World War III that we're going to see. With that, what do we need to do in order to survive this war? Can we survive it? What will be left behind after a nuclear war? Can we find a safe place to bug out in this wartime situation? And what do we need to get to be ready for this event? What supplies do we need to have ready for this event? What will happen when we don't take the mark of the beast or the Antichrist? Can we save people through the gospel of Jesus Christ? Can we be set free from sin and death when the Lord returns? We need to think about what we are going to do in the end times in order to survive. We must be in the right frame of mind and read the Bible daily so that we can be ready for the war that lies ahead. Very important questions and things to think about. We need to endure to the end to see the second coming of Jesus Christ. And can we find true fellowship in the end times? What do the end times mean to us today? Can we endure these end times? We need to move away from what people tell us today, or what we might see ourselves in the mainstream media, or in the current affair programs or television programs. We need to get our mind focused on what we're not being told and what's been hidden from us. You see, we deal with situations that try to get us emotionally involved, to pick a side of a story. But instead, we need to stand back and see both sides of the story and see what are they trying to get us to believe, or what point of view are they trying to get us to adopt, and what are they trying to get us to do. We need to see the bigger picture. We need to see that, yes, we are living in a time that is like no other. Just amazing. I was talking about the last days. It gets rich off. The call gets. Steve Creel and Anthony talk about how and the best that have formed with our team that have the foundation and it is this that we need. Mind in the body is important. It's only when we want to get the spirit of the Holy Spirit to sense of faith and belief in the world. It says in the country, God loved the world so much, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes does not perish but have everlasting life. We need to believe in the Son of Jesus. We need to believe in Jesus Christ. We need repentance. We need to get right with God and then God and Savior and be born again. For said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we need a spiritual mind, drawn spirit, a clear mind, a focused mind, being churched. For what we need to do, we need to talk to Jesus Christ. We need to put our faith into the Lord and Savior. We need to study the Bible and get to know God. What does it say in God's word? We need to avoid the mark of the beast. Don't take no RFID chip. Don't be worried about the last days. The only thing we need to be worried about is evading capture, evading people that wish to do harm to us, like the satanic armies that are going to be uprising. There's going to be a lot of the Antichrist followers. There's going to be, once this new world order government is going to be installed, and once the Great War starts, once the tribulation starts, we need to learn how to survive, how to do fairly quick. Because this new world war is going to make Adolf Hitler look like a goddamn choir boy compared to what's coming. The Antichrist is going to be a lot more severe than Adolf Hitler and all these other brutal dictators that killed off vast majority of their population or of their citizens in their country. You think World War II was better than World War I and all the other wars? Wait till you see World War III and what's going to happen after that when a new world order comes about, when there's a one world government that is focused on getting you to take the mark of the beast, to worship the beast, to forsake your soul, to put your spirit in utter complete damnation. The time at hand is very, very serious. But what's going on with ISIS in the Middle East, and we see what's going on in Europe with Greece preparing to leave the European Union. We're seeing the build-up even in the Ukraine, where the rebels and the Ukrainian army are going head-to-head. And also, It involves Russia as well. And then we look what's going on in Syria. See, all this has a role to play. The time is running out. The time for sitting on the fence is gone. You're either with God or you're with Satan. Either you're going to focus your attention on getting ready and getting prepared so that you can do the best you can to survive the end times. We see rumors of war, great earthquakes, we're seeing tsunamis, we're seeing natural disasters. My God, it is March in Ireland, and for the last 2 days, we had snowfall. That's not normal weather. I mean, do we need somebody to point out what's going on, or can we see for ourselves how serious this situation is? We're on the verge of an economic collapse of World War III. We have a debt cult by the name of ISIS going around beheading people, executing them, invading countries, promising to bring their violence to other countries. We have a financial crisis in Europe. We see new laws coming out, greater surveillance being put on us. I mean, do I really need to expand upon this? Or do people have the understanding how we're really in critical times here? The time for indecisiveness is gone. To think about what lies ahead of us. The Lord gave me a vision. And let me share with you, because I want you to get a clear picture of what lies ahead for us. Basically, I listened to the Hagman and Hagman report, and Steve Crail was on. Now, Steve was sharing about how this woman had a vision that testified to what Steve Crail was talking about. Soon after that show, about a day or so, I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning after having this very horrifying dream. And what happened in this dream, I will now tell you. All of a sudden, I was in my hometown. I was walking about. All of a sudden, I was carried to this place where I saw lines of people lined up, going through this place. There was a lot of people sitting down with books, and they were taking people's names, and there was two officers that I was standing very close to at the front of the line. I was standing in front of the officers alongside this person, and one officer said to the other officer, "Make sure and get their names, what religion they are, and how old they are." And the other officer said, "Okay, I will do that." And I asked Lord, why are they asking for their name and their religious status and their age for? And the Lord replied back to me and said, for the accent, for the age of the person, so they know who is going to be eligible for re-education and for work. Those who are not a certain age will be sent to the gas chambers. And as for religious status, he said, that is to separate out your brothers and sisters so that they will know who is Christian and who is not. And for I said, Lord, why are they asking for their names? So that those that will accept the mark, that their names will be written in the system, and that those who are not in the system, when they're caught, will be brought back here. I said, okay, Lord, thank you for telling me that. All of a sudden then, I was taken from here and brought to another place. This was a big area that was completely fenced off. This was not, the fencing was designed not to keep people out, but to keep people in. As I started walking through this, I was wearing a backpack. As I was walking through this place, I could see people who are young. I didn't see any old people. I didn't see any people very young. Just people who would be from 15 up till about 40. That was the age range that was there, from 15 to 40 years old, when this facility. As I continue on, I saw all people boarding trains. The very young mothers with children, the frail old people, people who were sick, people who had learning disabilities and physical disabilities, being boarded on this train. I saw a wide range of people boarding this train, and they were all taken to this building. And as the train was going into the building, this big thing came down over the train and, excuse me, this big thing came down over the train and began to pump in a load of gas. And I felt this oppressing feeling of death and complete hatred. It was hatred and death, and you could smell the burning flesh from the ovens as the smoke was rising up. You could smell that revolting smell of burning flesh from these ovens. And I distinctly remember that when the train came out of the other side, there were people that were just taking dead bodies of women and children and old people and the people with learning disabilities and physical disabilities out of this train. Oh my God, it was horrible. They were taking these bodies out and just loading them into this plastic coffin liner and just bringing it to the furnace. How could they do this? To literally load up their own fellow human beings on a train and then gas them to death and throw their remains into a plastic carton line and bring them to a furnace to burn them away. My word. And the Lord said, "This is the great injustice of the satanic system that is in place. The one world government is responsible for these people's death." And I was brought from there to a housing estate. This housing estate at in today's retail value about would be worth about these houses would be worth 250,000 euro. These houses would be expensive, completely abandoned. The front lawns haven't been cut. Cars still parked out in the driveways of these houses. Everything left desolate. Nobody has been living there for months. And I was with this group of people. And when I came to entering into the house, we went in. I threw down my body armor. I was wearing a Kevlar vest, a body armor, and I had several pieces of military clothing and equipment and things like that, survival equipment. And I remember I put them down and I said to one of the guys, "Listen, Mark, I'm going to sleep there for about 5 or 10 minutes, just to get some shut eye, just to take a quick rest." But it happened that I slept for about 45 minutes. I it was that walking that I was doing that day. It felt like I did a lot of walking. And when I woke up from that sleep, I noticed my Kevlar vest was gone. I noticed several pieces of my military equipment was gone. And I was rushing about this house trying to find it. But five or six people were gone out of the group. I asked the other people in my group what happened, and they said, "Well, there were six people that while we were on guard and things like that, three of us were looking out on the upstairs, and there was four other people making sure that everybody had their lights off, that nobody had a flashlight on, and that nobody was basically standing at any windows to so they wouldn't be seen." And while we were doing this, the six people that were there before took a lot of our stuff as well, and they left. And what happened was they had literally taken altogether before these people left, there was 16 people in our group. When they left, there was 10 people left. And the other three people came in and said, "Down the house, about 2 hours down the estate, and The other seven said, okay, we're not going to go after them. We're just going to focus on making sure that we're not seen, that we're not discovered. We're going to keep focused on staying here tonight, resting up, then in the morning, moving on. And I noticed then, I looked at my army watch, and I realized that it was getting on to about midnight, 12 a.m. in the morning, and that it was that way. I decided to go up upstairs, and I slept down on the floor, and all I can remember is that going to sleep. And then one of the others waking me up and said, Michael, wake up. We gotta leave, we gotta leave. And I woke up, and it was like, have you ever been in a situation where that you know that when somebody wakes you up in a serious situation, your mind just the minute you get up, you just switch on your alert, your focus. You have that mindset that there's something urgent that you need to deal with, but deal with it in an appropriate manner. That you don't just panic and make mistakes. You respond in an orderly fashion. You think, you're thinking, run, move ahead, constantly thinking, what if this happens, what if this happens, that sort of scenario. Excuse me. When I woke up, I became very alert. I said to the person that woke me up, and I said, Greg, what's the situation? What are we facing? And he said, do you know the morons that stole our equipment? And I said, yes. Well, they have a bloody light on in the houses 2 walls down. And now there's military officers doing, there is a search team outside going to door, searching every house in this estate, he said, for people. And I just got up. I looked directly out the window. Now, you must remember, we have no flashlights. We have been concealing ourselves for a good bit. And the great thing about being in a darkened room with absolutely no light is that you cannot be seen when you look out that window. As I looked out that window, I saw flashlights coming from house to house. And I saw this flashlight beam coming towards the house. I quickly ducked down, and when I saw that light passing by, I said, Greg, get Mark, Liam, John, and Giros, and let's get out of here. He said, the rest of the guys, half the other guys, are gone over across the field already, he said. And I said, boy, do we have our Bibles? And he said, yes, we do. We have our Bibles. They're still on our bags. They didn't take them. And I said, okay, but we need to get out of here. And we need to get out of here fast. And it was then, when we left the house, that there was still three of us in the house, because the other seven had left. I went across the field. The people that stole our military equipment noticed the same thing we did, and they were about to leave their house. Well, when we got to the open field, we managed to evade the patrol, because they were still 2 hours away from us. But there was a reconnaissance team that would have been just right in front of the house that we were in. So we had to be really careful getting out of this house. Once we got over the back wall of the house, this set of backyard, we left through the front and we had an open field. And we went through this open field to the other wall, 2 walls of houses. We got over, we went into the front yard of this house, around the back, over the back wall again into the another backyard, and straight out through the front of the second house, and right into the went across this short distance of a field, crossed over the wood and into the forest. And we managed to get into the tree line, where we stopped, where we couldn't be seen, but we could see out clearly. And what I realized when the Lord brought me back, where the six people that took our equipment were. And the Lord, it was like they couldn't see me. And I was standing there and I could see them struggling to get over the walls, and very soon the reconnaissance team spotted them. They got spotted straight away. The radio call went in, and the patrol team dropped what they were doing, searching house to house, and just came to that spot straight away. It was about 5 minutes. The patrol team were there. Now, these people were carrying so much weight with them, with the Kevlar vest and heavy backpacks, that they were struggling to get over the walls of these houses, because you could run along the roadway and go straight out the gate of the housing estate, because it was blocked off by troops. So they had to go over walls, and by the time they had that done, the patrol team caught up with them. And I was brought back to the forest again, where I met up with the other 10 people, and we were talking amongst ourselves. And one of the others, that some people were named to me, I have their names, but then there was other people that I didn't have their names. I never knew their names, but I know a few, about four people out of the group that I knew their names, and then the other six I didn't know who they were. And I asked the Lord about that, and he said, "Those six people you haven't met those people yet." And I asked him, "What about the four people that I do know?" there are people that you will meet in, before this happens, but the six people that are unnamed, you will meet them during the tribulation. And the reason why I'm not revealing their names to you right now is that these six people will be key to your survival. And it's that I take that the Lord is making sure that his people who believe and put their trust in him, he will lead them, provide a way for them, and protect them during the tribulation. And this is the key of really following God and having a personal relationship with God, is that the Lord God will lead you to other people that are saved, and you will form a community where you'll be able to help each other to survive. And when we were in the first line, something amazing happened. When we were going through the forest, they released these dogs, these tracking dogs. Do you know those police dogs? If you ever seen a police program where they're trying to find somebody, they would release sniffer dogs to find them. So they did that, and they noticed in our house that there was people that were staying there, because there was signs that somebody was staying there. And they realized that from the other house as well, that the other six people were there. Now they came to find the house. There was a real problem, because the body armor and other pieces of equipment had our scent on them. So when the other six people took our equipment and our body armor and our helmets, and believe me, if you, what I got a sense of from the Lord is that we were wearing this body armor all day long. It was a warm day. We had sweated, our sweat and our scent was on these items, that when these people took those items, when they released the dog squad, the sniffer dogs, that when they brought them into our house, the dog sniffed the area and they brought them straight to these six people. And I could hear one soldier going to one of the six people who said, "Why did you stay in one house and move to the other?" And they said, "Oh no, we were with a group of 10 people." And another soldier said, "That is lies. How come we sent the sniffer dogs in to that house and they led us straight back to you? There's only you here and nobody else." And I was astounded and amazed by that, how the Lord provides a way out of that situation. And that gives me great hope for this war that we're going to head into, to the last days that we face on earth. Because I know that my Lord God, my Savior, my King, my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father, will provide a way out for me in that day. He will be constantly looking over me and caring about me, constantly directing my step so that if it is His will that I live to see the second coming of Jesus Christ, then that will be His will. But if I am captured and I die, well, I get to go home to heaven with all the other saints and be a martyr for Christ. And this is the important thing. No matter if I live or die, I want to live and die for the glory of God. And that's something that for Christ. And take a 2-minute break and I'll see you after the break. Welcome back. Yes, welcome back. Talk about go back to the Lord to give the happen. Trust God because we are not done. We have dreams. For God loves so much, give His own language of living and shall perish but everlasting life. Father, with us, that we what we can do to survive a new world. Thank you and good night.